The arts, music, performance, and other cultural activities are a measure of a society's health rather than indicators of economic health. Did you know that the more economically successful a city becomes, the more the cultural scene of the city is at risk? Like, for example, let's look at Berlin. The German capital, celebrated for its alternative scene, is gentrifying, and the increasing property prices is placing the cultural scene under high pressure. This morning, we're joined by urban geographer from Melbourne University, Dr. Kate Shaw, to talk about how economic growth can be a threat to a city's culture. Dr. Shaw, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Willie. I'm fine.
How does economic growth threaten local culture?
Oh, well, look, we know it. You know, the classic one is music venues being forced to close when residential development occurs next door and we start getting complaints. But property price increases commercial activity generally puts pressure on small galleries and small cultural outfits. It raises the bar for them to get in the first place. Like, you know, it's a high threshold to be able to even establish a new venue in a city like Sydney or Melbourne, especially, where standards are so high and property prices are so high.
Yeah, right. I hadn't thought about it like that way in terms of those places that allow for the emerging cultural, the budding artists, the budding musicians, those venues, they actually, when they stop existing or have trouble existing, that's the kind of start of the breakdown of the chain, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, think about it like the primordial soup. if you haven't got that kind of really basic, original stuff happening, then the more established arts kind of start to become a bit moribund, don't they? It needs to be vibrant and continuing to evolve.
Are there any cities around the world that do it well, that have managed their kind of cultural, like their property growth or their property prices, but then still fostered this budding emerging arts and culture scene?
Well, I mean, there are cities that yes, there are. I mean, there are places like, say, take New Orleans, a really powerful music scene, of course. One of the things that city does is, as most listeners will know, I think, is hold, internationally famous music festivals. The French Quarter Festival, the Jazz Festival, it's kind of an ongoing sort of rolling festival there. And one of the things that city does is make a point of just employing local artists and paying well. So, I mean, even that kind of, continuous employment for artists is really important. Other places like, say, Chicago and Austin, they tend to have pretty low rents anyway because they're not all that economically successful. So that works in the favour of the cultural scene. Just talking about America at the moment, when you compare that, say, with New York or, for that matter, London and Paris, they had vibrant cultural scenes in the 60s, obviously, but as those cities developed and became more economically successful, they turned more into celebrations of commerce and big population than they did of their local culture.
Why do you think it's important to take some early measures to safeguard the cultural scene?
You could say that a place like New York doesn't need to. I mean, it's about the choices that you want to make. If you want to continue your celebration of local culture, and certainly we do in Melbourne, and I think you still do in Sydney.
I hope we do.
Sydney's becoming more a celebration of its economic success, I think, in some ways. But if you choose to value your cultural scene and you want to keep it going, then you need to make a real investment in it. And the reason why I'm talking and thinking about this at the moment, of course, is that Melbourne has just announced a scheme where it's going to make empty shop fronts and so on that have become empty during the lockdown available to artists on a short term basis. And for me, that's just sort of a further deeply cynical attitude to culture, arts and culture in that city. It's like we value it, we celebrate it, we don't protect it, and then when we need it to revitalize or reactivate the city centre, all of a sudden we just want to drop a few artists back in there, thinking that that's going to be the source of revitalization. I mean, I find it cynical and kind of exploitative, you know. I mean, artists are so desperate they'll take anything. But what they really need and what all artists want is long-term secure place that they can, make their own and invest in, emotionally and psychically as well as financially. So I think what we should be doing in Melbourne and probably in Sydney as well, while property prices and rents in the inner cities are pretty low, lower than they have been for some time because there's, lockdown and people working from home, take advantage of that and negotiate long-term secure leases for cultural producers. Take some buildings out of the market entirely while they're cheap. Melbourne City Council could be buying some of the buildings that could be used and are being used for us at the moment, so that it's permanent long-term space rather than this,
kind of stopgap.
The cynical sort of short-term fix. Yeah. Use the artist when we think they're much useful, and then, of course, if reactivation happens, off they go again.
Yes.
Who knows where. But we need to rethink the way that we deal with the art in Australia.
Dr. Kate Shaw, I agree with all you're saying. I feel like hopefully we don't, Sydney and Melbourne don't completely lose their cultural value and vibe, and that the cities get on board and support their artists. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure.